Welcome to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and joining me in the extra hour is Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
Hello, hello. And Steve Kalaszewski.
Hello to you, sir.
Hello, hello. Listen, if you missed the first hour, you got to catch it. You got to catch it. My goodness. The Constitution, Part 3. The original intent and purpose. We talked about don't get it twisted. Get it straight. It's the gospel. The gospel is only good news if it arrives on time.
And right.
And right. Tell them, Pat. Well, you know, yesterday we had a chance to talk about the love walk.
Mm-hmm.
The love walk. And if you missed the love walk, you definitely want to catch it, because we talk about how we can endure patience, having patience and enduring without complaining. And
so how are you doing on that?
I'm growing. Asking the Lord for grace and for help.
Yes.
For help.
That's important. That's
yes,
good.
Very, very important.
That's humility. There
yep.
you go.
Yep.
Very
mm-hmm.
good. Very good.
Thank you for checking on me. How are you doing?
I'm a work in progress.
Oh, very good. Very good. Steve?
God's grace. Just call out on God.
That's good.
Well, you know, to think about, and you made a great point yesterday when talking about complaining and grumbling to who?
To God.
I mean, just think about that here for a minute. Complaining and grumbling to God? Listen, everywhere you look these days, somebody is complaining about something.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If the sun is out, then it's too hot. If the sun doesn't come out, then it's too gloomy. No rain, complaining when it does rain. And of course, nobody wants to get wet.
Mm-mm.
People complain about where they live, the car they drive, where they work, and just about everything and anything under the sun. And to complain means to express dissatisfaction, pain, uneasiness, and resentment. And some synonyms are to bellyache, like, well, you don't do that. No, well, you know.
You're talking about somebody else.
Somebody else.
Oh, okay.
Somebody.
Yeah.
Bellyache, disapprove, growl, grumble, protest, and take exception. Those were for the fancy people. I take exception with that. That means they're complaining. That means they don't approve. That means they're not satisfied. SOS, source of satisfaction. They can't get any kind of satisfaction. And in Numbers 11, God's people, in Numbers 11, this is what the Word of God says. Now the people complained about their hardships in the hearing of the Lord. It's not that you're not going to have hardships in life. It's what you do when the hardships and the difficulties come.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
But they were literally complaining and grumbling in the hearing of the Lord. Listen, God hears everything. Everything you say and everything that you talk about is always known by God. And if you know that, I did not know if you knew, but let me tell you, he knows.
Oh, yeah.
And nothing escapes him. They thought that they could say, or at least just think about something and mull it over in their mind, and it was all good. But the truth is that God knows your every thought. And when he heard them, the Word of God says his anger was aroused. Can you say, rut-row? His anger was aroused. Listen. God was actually angry with them. You don't want to cause God to be angry. So much that they fell under judgment. You don't want to be one that angers God.
Mm-hmm.
We have gone, we have basically so much we have gotten so much past complaining these days, even in the church and in America. We touched a little bit about this yesterday, but we talked about, listen, berating waitresses and waiters, berating people that do service industries.
Regardless if they're good or bad.
Mm-hmm. Yes. There's no justification for it.
None.
A few years ago, that's how kings and queens were treated. They were waited upon. And now it's expected in our country.
Expected with a smile and perfect and all this type mm-hmm. of stuff. You know, empathy. Empathy. Relate to what the people are doing there. Well, this is what happens. God was so angry with them because they were complaining. They were grumbling, showing pure satisfaction. We talked about yesterday how it's when you're complaining and you're grumbling, you're actually saying, God, you don't know what you're doing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You're taking credit for your life.
Right. Yeah, we talked about it yesterday. He says in John Bevere's book, Fear the Lord, he said, complaining is nothing more than a manifestation of insubordination to God's authority.
Mm.
Wow.
What you're saying is that, God, I don't like what's happening in my life. I don't like what's going on. I don't like being discomforted. And you're saying, well, God's not discomforting me. It's this person I live with. It's this boss I have. It's this employee I have. Listen, God allowed it. The steps of a righteous man or righteous woman are ordered by the Lord. God allowed it. But listen, fire came from the Lord and burned them and consumed some of them from the outskirts of the camp. Interesting how the fire was touching those who were on the outskirts of what God was doing. Hanging around the things of God is not being right in the middle of what God is doing. And it's interesting that those who were in the front, close, up close, didn't get burnt up. Mm-hmm. Gotta stay close. It's easy to complain when you're not in the middle of what's happening. It's easy to criticize and play, you know, Monday morning quarterback of what the quarterback should have done when you're looking up from the bleachers. Complaining and not offering any solutions is not a good recipe.
Mm.
Here's a good rule of thumb. Don't bring up anything about anything or anyone without a solution. Because you know what? There's 2,500 people at any given time that can point out what's wrong with any given situation. You got just some that just like to point things out that are wrong. You know, that's wrong, that's wrong, that's wrong, that's wrong. What, do you plan to help with any? No, oh, no, I just want to just, I'm
make sure you're aware of it.
Just want you aware of it. I'm just the one that points it out and complains about how good it's not. But any solutions with Bob? No solutions. So if you're going to complain about something, I don't suggest you do. But if you're going to point something out, bring two or three solutions for everything that you want to point out and address. Unless you have two or three, maybe it's not a good idea to bring it up. That was free. We'll keep moving. But if that wasn't enough, they still didn't learn. Fire was coming from God. People were screaming, burnt flesh, and dead bodies were all over the place.
Yeah.
And that still was not enough. Sure, they cried out to God. Moses intervened for them, but they were back complaining again.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you would think that some burnt flesh would get somebody's attention. You know what I'm saying?
Or maybe the earth opening up and swallowing you.
I don't know.
Or the fact that they were still in the desert.
Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
At the core of complaining, at the true center of it, you're going to find pride.
Oh, yeah.
Pride has to do with self and flesh. Pride always focuses the attention on self. How do I feel? Is this pleasing to my flesh? Is this my preference? Like, you have preferences? Self has become such an idol that many believers are filtering what God is saying knowingly or unknowingly through the idol of self.
Mm-hmm.
I will obey God if that appeals to me. If it doesn't, people look for ways to do what God said and making it to conform to their flesh. as if they could. Mm-hmm. And the truth is that, you know, we obey God just because he says it and just because of who he is, whether it appeals to our flesh or it doesn't. If your flesh even, it's like, doesn't, it shouldn't even come up. You know, it shouldn't even come up. But you think about that. If you're just coming to the Lord, you're realizing that everything in your whole life has probably been catered around you, making you feel comfortable and happy and nice and what you like and all that type of stuff. And you're just giving your lives to the Lord, you realize there's no room for you here. You know what I'm saying? Because it's all about him. It's all about God. And you're going to be constantly offended and constantly hurt if you're always trying to make yourself comfortable and things about you and feel good and feel right in the way you would do it. Because it's not about that in the kingdom of God. It's all about God. We conform to God, and God doesn't conform to us. So that means that if we have preferences, if we have desires, we just kind of lay them down. We lay them down, and you know what? We exchange our desires for God's desires. And if your highest value is to please the Lord, mm-hmm. Splash some water over there. If your highest value is to please the Lord, then you're going to do what God wants you to do no matter what. And whatever God says, you just do. Mm-hmm. The question is, why is your flesh so strong?
Yeah.
Pat, any Steve, any? Oh, okay, that was rhetorical. But I'm sorry. I guess that was a rhetorical question.
That's right.
Why is your comfort and liking such an issue? Sorry, guys.
Do tell.
Why does God?
Oh, it's just pride.
Yeah.
It always comes back to pride. And it's just like so often. It's like, I mean, our culture right now is so self-driven, self-focused, self-elevated that to deny yourself is offensive. It's just like, what?
You told me what?
I'm supposed to look past myself and look to God and ask and look to others. It's just like, whoa. But it's just,
if
like,
I do that, then who's going to look after me?
Exactly.
Right, exactly.
That's the whole difference between pride and humility, because when you're humbled, you don't have enough time for yourself because you're focused on God. And when you're focusing on others, you're doing it to love God. And that's that difference.
That's right. You know, Paul found out he had to get knocked off his high horse, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying, to realize that it's about me, God. Says, Paul, why are you persecuting? Saul, why are you persecuting me? Mm-hmm. Why does everything that God says about doing has to revolve around you? Mm-hmm. Right? These are good questions to ask. Verse 4, chapter 11 says, the rabble, with them began to crave other food, because they were at it again now. They began to crave other food, and again the Israelites started wailing and said, if only we had meat to eat, we remember the fish we ate in Egypt at no cost. They were getting food stamps, they were getting something, you know? They're getting free whatever.
Yeah.
You know? Think about this. They began to wail. Now, they were slaves in Egypt. Mm-hmm. I mean, they were working under Pharaoh in the hot sun, extra, you know, straw, more bricks. Mm-hmm. And as long as their flesh was satisfied, as long as you throw me a couple pieces of fish, mm-hmm. throw me a couple pieces of meat, I'll be your slave. I'll do whatever you want me to do.
Right. Yeah, the devil's always going to remind you about the comforts in slavery when God's trying to bring you through the hardships that bring you to life.
Absolutely. It's all about life and what God's doing and what he's bringing you to, not what you're leaving. Mm-hmm. But it's amazing what people will settle for just to have their flesh satisfied. But as long as it's like, wait a minute, can't have the choices of meats?
Yeah.
I can't have the... Let me get to wail. It's not like a simple complaining. It wasn't like, you know, I wish we had... No, it was a wailing. And the rabble, I like that. The Bible says the rabble. It all started with a rabble, a disorderly crowd. That's what a rabble is.
Wow.
A disorderly crowd.
Wow.
Listen, it doesn't take a lot. It just takes a couple of people, a little rabble, a disorderly crowd in your family, in your gathering, in your workplace, in your office, that are never satisfied no matter what is happening. Always blaming something, somebody, for the situation that they're in. And the word blame stands for, but look at my excuse. Everybody can't be the source of your problems. If it's raining, I'm having problems. If it's sunny, I'm having problems. It's always the people at the office. It's always someone in the family. It's always somebody else. It's like, come on now. Really?
Right.
But all it takes is a little rabble. It takes a couple of people that are dissatisfied and disgruntled. And all of a sudden, you're starting to complain. I mean, look at the protests you're seeing all around the world. Look at the protests you were seeing even in this country not long ago last year.
Yeah.
Just a rabble. Give me, give me, give me, give me, give me, give me. Mm-hmm. Like, you have an education. Go to work. Why are you worried about the 1%? Go to work. Find a job.
Right.
Go to work. Do something. Unless you do nothing, but be employable. Mm-hmm. You know, it's pride to think that somebody owes you a job because you have a certain level of education.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there are more broke people. I'm sorry. I've known some. There are more broke people that have all this higher education, not because they're not intelligent. It's because they refuse to take any type of employment. They want to take employment only in the field that they studied in.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, man.
Or for the amount of money they think they deserve.
Right. Exactly. And it's like, dude, I mean,
better humble yourself.
The mortgage company, you know, they don't care about that. They don't care,
where that money came from.
They don't care about that cum laude now. They don't care. They don't care about that summa cum laude. You know, they want that money.
Yeah.
You know, the mortgage company wants that money. The Walmart, they don't take degrees. They take checks.
Yeah.
Saying cash and cards. They don't take degrees. And we just need to humble ourselves. Listen, if we have an opportunity and we have, you know, it wasn't long in this country that people were just happy to have an opportunity. They said, just give me a chance. All I want is an opportunity. All I want is an interview. All I want is just a chance to show you that, listen, I'm willing to come and work and learn and figure out, you know, what you guys are doing and how I can contribute, you know, whatever skill set that I have and my work ethic to make what you have going on here better. I want to be someone that can add value to your business, you know, and so I want to be an asset. Mm-hmm. I don't ever plan to be a liability, okay? So give me this opportunity and start somewhere. You know, it's amazing when you find out and you reach certain companies and you listen to this person's a vice president or a president and all that, and you realize that the person started in the entry-level position.
Yeah,
it's just like, and they work themselves all the way up, and they learned every facet of the business. There's so many people complain and say, I don't want to do that. I just want to come in I don't want a ground floor opportunity. I want a rooftop opportunity.
Yeah, <right.
laughs> I want the office. I want the window. I want the desk. It's like, but you haven't done nothing yet. What do you want to do? What do you want to do? You got to get out there and take the reins, right?
Yeah.
And not complain. So this rabble gets started, and it starts with an individual, like I said, or a group, who are out of God's order. They are disorderly.
Mm-hmm.
See, God has an order. He has a way of things that are happening in your life. It may seem like disorder to you because it's not following your order, but God's order is always the right order, and they're not in line and in step with God's order. They are disorderly. And they have not aligned their heart with God's heart. That's why all the dissatisfaction, that's why all the discomfort, that's why, because you haven't aligned yourself with, listen, you haven't settled it. It says, listen, whatever, you know, my lot in life is with the Lord, that's what I'm going to embrace. That's what I'm going to embrace. When we get back, we're going to talk more about this and how we can walk victoriously and say, listen, God, whatever you have for me is exactly what I want to do.
We'll be right back after these messages. You're listening to BFN Radio. Don't forget you can visit us at BFNTV.com.
If you've ever felt there's more month than money and that your paycheck just doesn't cover the bills, it may be time to make a budget. This is John Fuller, and financial expert Dave Ramsey shares some practical ways you can do that on today's Focus on the Family Minute.
Every dollar has a mission. every month before the month begins on paper, on purpose, and you agree on it with your spouse. But zero-based means your income is at the top minus all of these missions, assignments for every dollar. Every dollar has a name until you get to the bottom and it's exactly zero, which means you have to kind of work on it a little bit to get it to zero out. But you can't have any money that's just kind of laying there because that money will disappear. You have to tell every dollar what to do or you will wonder where it went.
Well, making a budget requires some effort, and staying on budget can be hard, but do it today. You can find out how at focusonthefamily.com/finances.
We have a great way for you, our VFN Radio listeners, to connect with us beyond the program. So many of our VFN Radio listeners want more. Well, we have more for you. You can go to VFNTV.com and select VFN Torch. When you see the VFN Torch, you'll be able to get our highlights where we take the program beyond just what you hear on the radio. You'll see videos, you'll have pictures, and so much more. Not only will you be able to listen to these and watch more content, but you have the ability to email them to your friends, to your family, and spread the word. Let me tell you something. Take VFN Radio to the next level. Get more by going to VFNTV.com and select the VFN Torch now.
You know, John, I have been so encouraged listening to you and sharing your stories about Elijah and Isaiah and Maya and how you got to spend time with them at one of their baseball games, how encouraged they were with the fact that you were just simply there. Your presence, just being with them, encouraged them. Tell me about that.
Well, that's cool, man. I can understand what you're saying because I feel that way when I know that God is near me.
Yeah.
You know, when I have a relationship with him and I know that he's present, he's not far away.
Mm-hmm.
He's not too far that is, you know, he can't reach out to me, not too far that his eyes are not always on me. And maybe you are listening today and you wish that you had a father to be in your life, or you wish that somebody was there to watch you. I want to tell you that you're not alone. Many of us have experienced the same things in our lives, and we wanted to know more about God ourselves.
Yeah.
But it was a journey. We were all on a journey. Isn't that right, Steve?
Absolutely.
And that journey brought us to a point where, you know what? I want to meet the Father.
That's right.
I want to meet Father God. And so some of us have shared our stories. You know, a lot of it's not pretty, but what is? But what it truly is, it's real.
Mm.
And if you're looking for a story, a real life story that would help encourage you, I want to ask you to find out more at meetmyfather.org, where real people have gone through real things to find the real Father. Meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him.
Welcome back, VFN Radio. Joining me back from the break is Pat and Steve. We're talking about this rabble, talking about this disorderly group out there that God had to deal with, and they were totally dissatisfied. They said, we want some meat. They were complaining. All it just takes is a few people that are dissatisfied, and you better watch out. It's a little spread. It's a little yeast.
Mm-hmm. Like a cancer.
Man, it'll work through that whole batch of dough. And it's like, what are you so dissatisfied about? You're dissatisfied because you're not on God's team. You're on your own team. You got to get on God's team. You got to get on what God is saying and what God is doing. It's not about us. It's about him. It's about all of us who are in him. And we're not beating to, you know, we're not walking to the sound of our own drum beats. He's the one that's setting the cadence. He's the one that's sounding the alarm. He's the one that's beating the drum. And we just need to have ears to hear what he's playing. You ever notice that? Two people are listening to music and they're fighting over who's going to play the music louder, and someone's listening to one beat and the other person's listening to the other song, and you hear both of them at the same time. It just sounds like a whole bunch of mess.
Yeah, a bunch of noise. Yeah.
A whole bunch of noise, and they can't hear what's happening. It's like you're not going to hear God over your noise and over your plans and over your desires. So instead of lining their heart with God and saying, God, have your way. Wherever you go, I will go. Whatever you say, I will say. I mean, we do sing the song, right?
Yeah. We know the words.
We know the words.
We know the beat.
That's true oneness and worship with God. When our actions line up with the songs that we actually sing, they were actually talking about the free meat they had when they were in captivity and bondage. And we talked about in the first hour how many today don't mind being in bondage and captivity as long as their flesh is being taken care of. I'm concerned that how many people are going to be taken over with. My promises of all these different things for your flesh, all these, and what's going to happen when those promises can no longer be fulfilled and your flesh is no longer satisfied.
Yeah, that's right.
You haven't seen complaining yet. You haven't seen marching yet.
You think about what they do in prisons. They give inmates.
Haven't been in prison, so tell us, Steve.
How do they do that?
How do
you
they
think
do
about
it?
In prisons, they give inmates televisions to help them forget the fact that they're in prison. And the amazing thing is, maybe if you turn off your television, you might find the fact that you're in the middle of a prison.
Bondage.
Yeah.
When your flesh is totally satisfied, and then it's no longer, you're not getting what you want, then you begin to start opening up to, what's going on? Look at what happened here. They were totally dependent. And this is what they say in verse 5. We remember the fish we ate in Egypt at no cost. Also the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic.
Wow.
But now we have lost our appetite. We never see anything but this manna! Exclamation point. Got to read the word. You got to look at everything. Exclamation point. They were yelling here.
Not satisfied.
Man, I can't get my salad, can't get my corn, ain't no dressing over here. I mean, you want me to eat this thing dry?
Wow.
They were complaining. And it was free. You didn't have to pay for nothing. It was free. And you're like, my goodness, are we for real? I mean, think about how arrogant and prideful. God supplied them. Mm-hmm. This is God. I mean, supplied them with manna every single day. Guess what? Guess what, guys?
What?
That was free too.
Yeah.
They didn't mention that though.
Mm-mm.
Think about that. But because it wasn't what they liked.
Yeah.
It was free. They had free manna every day. He took care of them every day. And the thing is that you may be complaining because you're not getting what you want, but you're definitely getting what you need.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Big difference. Needs and wants. Big difference. And he says, listen, they weren't grateful for the miracles that God had done for them. And that's why you got to be careful about people always chasing a miracle. If I had a miracle, if God just showed up for me, if God just healed me, I would know and I would serve him all the days of my life. If money came from heaven and just blopped it, if I saw someone's leg grow out, you don't chase miracles because miracles are not it.
Mm-mm.
Signs and wonders point to something. Signs are supposed to point to Jesus. It's not about the miracles, not about the sign and the wonder, because they saw miracles and they were still complaining.
That's right.
I mean, how quickly did they forget about the bricks that they were tortured to create?
Right.
How quickly did they forget about the 10 plagues? Locusts, I mean, blood in the water. I mean, we can go on. The frogs everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
10 plagues. They forgot it. How quickly they forget about the parting of the Red Sea.
Yeah.
Hello?
I mean, hello? I mean, you would have thought you would have picked up a stone or something. Like, I'm going to get a stone as we're walking through here because I'm going to remember this.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm going to remember this right here. No matter what, I'm going to remember this. And yet, don't tell me that you need one more miracle. Don't tell me you need God to answer one more thing so that you can serve him. Come on now. You serve him because he's good and he's awesome and he's just worthy of it, period.
Yeah.
Verse 10, Moses heard the people of every family and what started with a rabble, a wailing, each at their entrance to their tent. Now what started out with a little rabble, now this thing has grown into like chaos here. Mm-hmm. Moses is hearing every family, the word says. Right. Every family at the entrance of their tent, they're all getting it on now. That's right. That's exactly what he said. I agree. Ditto. What he said. Where are them melons? I haven't seen them cucumbers in a long... Where are them leeks? I haven't seen them onions in a long time. And God tells Moses, go ahead and gather these folks up here. We're going to take care of this. And verse 18, it says, tell the people to consecrate yourselves in preparation for tomorrow. You're not even prepared to come into the Lord. You can go ahead and take time to preparation. When you will eat meat, we're going to have meat for you. The Lord heard you when you wailed. If only we had meat to eat. Now the Lord will give you meat, and you will eat it. You will not eat it just for one day, or 2 days, or 5 days, or 20 days, but for the whole month until it comes out of your nostrils and you loathe it. They're going to eat some meat now. You want meat? We're going to hook you up with some meat.
All right.
Careful, careful that when you get your prayers answered, you're going to like, you're going to get what you wanted, but you're not going to like what you get. Yeah. They got meat. He said, you're not going to have it just for one little meal. You're going to have it till it's coming out of your nostrils. And the wind from the Lord drew in some quail. So much so that as far as the eye could see, there was 3 feet of quail.
Wow.
Wow.
I think God is proving a point here. As far as the eye could see, God can do anything. It's not that God couldn't give them quail. Did they ever think that God had a plan here? God had a purpose? That God was doing something? And when you focus your eyes only on yourself, you're not understanding that there is a big picture going on. God did not fall asleep. He's not taking a nap on the job. God's doing something. He's doing something. He's working. He couldn't give them quail. You want God to stop what he's doing? No problem, God says. You guys got a better way? Let me hook you up. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, this wind starts blowing. Hey, one bird, two birds. I can see them. They're like, get your gun. Get your slingshot. We're going to get these things.
We about to eat tonight.
All of a sudden, they start falling like snow.
Yeah.
Boom. Boom. Hitting them over the head, knocking them down. Boom. And there's 3 feet. And I've seen 3 feet of snow. 3 feet of quail. Hello. Mm. As far as the eye could see. That's interesting. I wonder how many miles that is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
They the say desert. Your eyes could see, you know, quite a way over the water.
Yeah.
Forget how many miles it is. But 3 feet of it. Their complaining was evidence that they were worshiping the idol of self and were moving in great pride.
Yeah.
God said, this is what you want. This is what you're going to get. And at some point, God turns you over to yourself. He says, listen, if you're going to keep wanting this and you're going to keep doing it, he's not going to restrain you. This one thing about someone that just keeps complaining is like, you know, whatever you're going to do, go ahead and do it quickly. I'm saying whatever you're going to do, you don't want to go into that tug of war with someone. It's like you just clearly share this is the truth, and then you have a choice to whether you want to follow the truth or not follow the truth. But whatever it is, go ahead and let us know that we can continue to do what we're going to do. Because mm-hmm. we're going to follow God. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, Joshua said, listen, as for me and my house, I'm going to make it plain for you.
Yeah.
We're going to follow the Lord. Do what you're going to do. And God will turn you over to the very thing that you're complaining, and you may be just like the Israelites. God, I just wanted a little steak. I didn't want 100,000 cows. You know?
Yeah, right.
I just wanted a little ribeye. Just want a little Angus. You may get what you want, but you're not going to like what you get. And I don't know. I just think I've kind of, you know, I have had some trial and errors in this area. You know what I'm saying? I've kind of learned with some quail coming out that he knows what he's doing.
Oh, yeah.
He knows what he's doing. And he doesn't have to run it by through me or get my approval or get my liking. I just got to get on the right bus. I got to get on his plan. You got to get on his plan.
You got to get to that point where you stop telling God what you want, and you're just like, you know what, God, what I want is for my wants to be your wants.
Come on.
And your wants to be my wants.
That's right.
That's it.
That's it. And what happens, they go from lying, you know, what happened, check the situation out. They go from lying in a pool of blood, broke, busted, and disgusted. And God saves you out of your misery, your pain, and your despair. And now, after some time, because you think you know something, you start calling the shots and you stop trusting in God and in his ways. I mean, God saved us. Mm-hmm. We can't forget where he saved us from. We can't forget who we were when we didn't know. Now you know through scriptures. Mm-hmm. Now you know, mm-hmm. saying that. Now you prayed a little bit. Now right. It's like, what happened there? What happened there? I hear God too. That's what Miriam told Moses. I hear Uh-oh. God too.
Watch out.
I've been abiding now. I got the plan. I requested the simple plan. I abide too. And it's like, man, we got to listen to what the Lord is saying. We have to turn our hearts to him and walk in step with him. And in verse 33, but while the meat was still between their teeth, and before it could be consumed, the anger of the Lord burned against the people, and he struck them with a severe plague.
Mm. Not just a plague, severe plague.
While the meat was still on their teeth, they hadn't finished chomping on it, digesting it. The Lord's anger was burned against him. Makes you want to think, like, what prayer have you answered here lately, Lord? what prayer? Mm-hmm. You got to pray with pure motives. You got to pray about whether this is God's will or my will, if this is within God's plans or my plans. And to be okay with, it is what it is. Mm-hmm. It is what it is. And I think that so many people struggle, and especially in this generation, with all of these plans. They compare themselves by themselves. They look at what's happening in someone else's life and somebody else's ministry and someone else's business. They look at what other people have in their home. They look at what they think other people's marriages are like. They look at other people's kids, and there's like all this striving for trying to keep up with something. It's like, live the life that you have. Live the life that God gave you. And find your joy in God. Find your joy in God. I remember when a time when my wife and I were newlyweds, and we were so poor. We were po. We
po. Could,
we couldn't afford the O or the R. We were just po. We were broke as a joke. And we were driving through town, and I just looked at her and I said, I can't believe we're so broke. And I said, but you know what? I said, it feels so good that we love the Lord. Mm-hmm. We love each other. And you know what? It'll be fine. Because our satisfaction and our joy wasn't in the fact of what money can bring us or give us. You know, if you're only happy when Friday comes around because you know you're getting paid, but the rest of the week you're depressed, that means you're easily manipulated by money and things. But if God doesn't give us happiness, happiness is something that just happens. God gives us joy, and he becomes all-sufficient. Mm-hmm. If you have God, you have everything. You don't like green pieces of paper. You like what the green pieces of paper can give you. Mm. You don't like, it's like, you know what? God can supply all of our needs according to his riches and his glory, our needs. And he even blesses us with some of our wants. Mm-hmm. But God's got us. He just wants our heart. And we just have to align with him. We got to get on, you know, his playbook and burn our own playbook. Mm-hmm. No more grumbling, no more complaining. It's okay to say, you know what? I'm going to trust you, God. I'm going to trust you. I must decrease, and you must increase, and may your will be done in my life.
We'll be right back after these messages. You're listening to VFN Radio.
Don't forget you can visit us at bfntv.com. It is amazing how this is all working. It's people just like you, friends like you, that stand with us and understand, you know, we've got to make a difference in our generation, that stand with us prayerfully and financially, that just partner on a monthly basis to financially build a foundation that where we can carry this message not only to the nation of America, but to the nations of the world. It's amazing how so many people are being encouraged by a simple gift of a few dollars a month, $25 a month, $50 a month, whatever it is. And you know what? Together, if you're having difficulty in how to present the gospel to this generation, partner with us, and we together at VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program will bring the gospel to this nation, and this nation, by God's grace, to the Lord. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. VFNTV.com and click on giving. So what's up? What's up? You know, I was listening to VFN radio, and I just noticed that there was just such a all over the place with your emotions and things, because, you know, first I know that that Chris had gotten got him a little dog for the family, mm-hmm. a cute little pug or something.
Mm-hmm. Being nice for his daughter.
Yeah,
you know?
And some reason I remember hearing something like, "I can't believe you got a dog," something like that.
And then,
and then as I fast forwarded through the VFM radio segment to hear what's going on, I can't believe that he talked about a pug like that.
Exactly.
And then the next thing I hear the next day is like, I just had to have one. And it was like jealousy. It was jealousy. That's what it was. All the other stuff was jealousy. I want a pug. I want a pug. I want a pug. And really, he really didn't want a pug. He just wanted what his brother had. You remember that old time battle stuff? So now he has one. Now he has one, and I'm just praying for the pug. You know, he's doing things like what dogs do. And do,
normal
do.
Functions.
Do.
And do.
At least it's little. I mean, if it was a max, it'd be like, somebody move Everest out of here. And now I understand that I was looking on the adoption papers, and Mojo Samson, whoa, whatever the dog's name is, Puck, you know, is up for adoption. 25 cents, and he comes with a collar and a shots.
That's right.
No, that's I don't know if it's true or not, but
it could be.
Oh man,
all this, he was cute at first. Those all, and you should see him. He was cooing. I was getting pictures of this dog. I mean, He was blowing up my phone.
Yeah, same here, man.
I saw him on his lap, on his chest, I'm on his neck. Then I saw this bag. I said, wait a minute. He is not. No. He's driving with the dog hanging out the window. No, wait a minute. What
his bags are packed.
Yeah. And the whole thing is like, it's the ugliest dog I've ever seen in my life.
I wouldn't have gone to your Braves. Yeah.
No, it was like, dang, got some big eyes on the thing, you know? And he has it on his shoulder. He sends it pictures to us. It's sitting on his shoulder, sitting on his dash. I don't know. It's sitting all over the place. And now I think it's pooing all over the place, and he wants it to go. But it's like, it's sort of like, you know, it's like, hey, honey, we just want to have children, you know? And then you say, let's have a child. They have a child. It's like, the baby's pooing. It's like, we got to get rid of the baby. He's like, no. We can handle this. We can train this child. We don't have to get rid of it. We can conquer this. We can conquer this thing. We'll have to train them. And, there's a dog training school right close by.
There is? Yes.
How long? By your place, right?
Mm-hmm.
So how? He sprayed me. He sprayed me when I went there. Yeah, he did.
Really?
The person teaches.
Oh, right.
Yeah. It was like intense.
You were listening.
No, he knew the alpha dog wasn't around. Right. But it was like rude. Anyway, so John was there with this little 2 ounce thing.
Right.
It was so funny, right? Like, Max is like, bloom, 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 jumping stuff and ticket. That was your dog.
Oh, she did it.
Coco.
She did it.
Coco, yeah.
Proud of Coco.
That was so cute, you know? And it did the thing. It was just like, tickle, like, I don't know. It was just so, almost like it wasn't touching the floor. It was so light. The dog was so light. And it was amazing, totally amazing. And it's just time for you to go to school.
That's it.
Time for you to go to school.
I put some Caesar moves on him the other day.
Oh my goodness, it's a pug.
It's a little thing.
You got to teach him while they're young.
Oh, my goodness. Is he limping or anything?
No, he's good. He's good.
You could do that, like, claw thing.
Oh, no.
Oh, he did.
Great. Now the pug is traumatized. Now,
I know, man.
Hey, work for Holly. She's very obedient.
Yeah,
dog.
We see how she said, poor the Holly.
She ran from the pug. Holly. She ran, and the pug was up to its toenail.
Not anymore.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. She had enough.
Oh, wow.
She was being gentle. Now she's like, she just looks at him. And he's like, on his back. So that's a submissive thing.
Everybody's hating on the pug now.
Wow.
I'm just so sad. Isn't it sad? I mean, he was like, you know, it was totally fine. And now, you know.
Well, you know, he got comfortable. He's got an attitude now.
Oh, my
God. You got to deal with that.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh.
Well, PETA, I just want to say.
Yeah, Samson, we're praying for you. Okay? Yeah.
Is that his name this week, Samson?
This week, I don't know. Tomorrow, I don't know.
I'm sure there's a few other adjectives they probably describe. Get that dog out of here.
Welcome back. VFN Radio. We're Hat on the Wheels of Steel. Pat and Steve joining us back from the break.
Did you say the Wheels of Steel?
Wheels of Steel. So before the break, Steven.
Yeah, I lost me too, man. Don't worry about it.
Steven. We're talking about grumbling and complaining and how we just need to stop it.
Yeah. I've been trying to tell you.
I know it.
We'll work through this.
It's so important that we just trust the Lord and just truly surrender the wheel.
Mm-hmm.
Truly give him the keys and not take it back again, but give him the keys and say, you're going to be a happy passenger and let God lead and do what he's going to do. Because he will give you what you want eventually. If that's what you want, that's what you're going to get. But you're not going to like what you get.
Yeah.
It's better just to trust him and stop the complaining and stop making it about yourself and make it really all about him. Steve, you were talking about how that all affects us in terms of pride.
Oh, yeah.
And how we can get offended when we don't need to be offended.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And it's just, I think about where God was just grabbing my attention this morning. And exactly what we've been discussing. He talks about it in 1 Corinthians 8, in verse 1, the latter part, he says, knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. He says, the man who thinks he knows something does not yet know as he ought to know. But the man who loves God is known by God. And I just started to really just think about that, because it's so often it's just that we can base our experiences or based off of what we've gone through or based off of what's happened in our life and filter God's word through that and think that what we might know and consider that important and say, okay, well, we're going to filter that first. And then we read the word of God and then we apply that to whatever has happened in our life and think that our ways or what's been done to us is more important. And as we've been talking about pride, I've been reading through John Bevere's book, The Bait of Satan, and that in itself is pride, because we're elevating our own situation. We're elevating what we think we know. We're elevating what we think is important above God's word, our justifications, our expectations.
Mm-hmm.
And what the powerful thing was that God said to me was the fact that regardless of how you're defending yourself, if you're using scripture or not, you're still defending yourself. And continuing on, like what God was saying to me is that in Isaiah, he talks about in Isaiah 55, he just says, this is the Lord. He says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. He says, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. And it's so significant because we can think that what we think we know is important.
Mm-hmm.
What we think we know is justifiable, and that's not always the case. Because it's pride that says, okay, well, what God says contradicts what I think I know, so God must be wrong. But it's humility that says, okay, I must be wrong because God said this.
Right.
And we really got to say, okay, which one are we looking for first? Does that make sense?
Absolutely. I mean, thing is like, God, what are you saying? Yeah. And I just want to do it. And his thoughts are above our thoughts, and his ways are above our ways.
And you can't boil God down or bring God down to your thinking.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? You have to get in tune with him. Yeah. He doesn't get in tune with you. And it was interesting what you said in 1 Corinthians about how knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. Sometimes the biggest obstacle to connecting with God is people think they know too much.
Right.
They know too much. They studied too much. And it's like, dump all of that if there is no love. Dump all of that. It's all about love, because mm-hmm. all that knowledge is going to put a barrier around you if you're depending on your knowledge. Knowledge is not bad. Mm-hmm. It's how you use knowledge. Knowledge is supposed to submit to God, submit to your spirit, submit mm-hmm. to love. You can't make knowledge the main thing.
And just because you know a scripture doesn't mean you know anything.
The devil knows scripture.
Exactly. Being able to know a scripture is no difference than knowing the difference between the color of red and green. But applying that to your life, allowing it to change your heart, that's where the difference is.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. The key is being able to walk low and keep Jesus high.
Mm-hmm.
Don't trust in all these other things that man trusts in, whether it be knowledge, money, resources, mm-hmm. friends, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Stuff, trust in the Lord and trust in his ways, because if you do that, I'm going to tell you, he's going to take you all the way through, take you everywhere you need to go just by putting your trust in him.
And what really just grabbed my attention and just was powerful was, this is what John Bevere says in his book, Beta Satan. And he says, when we filter everything through past hurts, rejections and experiences, we find it impossible to believe God. We cannot believe that he means what he says. We doubt his goodness, which is the opposite of faith, doubt.
Mm-hmm.
He says we doubt his goodness and faithfulness since we judge him. We're judging God. Since we judge him by the standards set by man in our lives. We're basing what God said based off of what has been done to us because we've been offended. It's that pride. Instead of allowing God's word to separate, allowing God's word to dissect our hearts, to dissect right and wrong, what's accurate and what's inaccurate. And that's we're allowing the past to affect the truth. And he continues on. He says, like, these strongholds create set patterns of reasoning through which all incoming information is processed. Although they were originally erected for protection, they become a source of torment and distortion because they war against the knowing or the knowledge of God.
Mm.
And it was just like, that's huge. Because what we think we know, we think we're justifying, or we think that's right, when all along it's simply creating a barrier between our intimacy with Christ, between our growing closer to God.
Your experience should never trump God's word.
Yeah.
Right. God's word trumps your experience.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And because you've been hurt, and because you've had pain, and because you have... Listen, I mean, everyone has been hurt. Everyone has experienced pain.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing about offense and what John Bevere writes in his book, The Bait of Satan, is that everyone has the opportunity to be offended. Everyone has the opportunity to be hurt. The question is, are you going to stay offended? Mm-hmm. Are you going to stay hurt? And the Bible says that it's the glory of man. You know, it's to overlook an offense. And if you're constantly being offended and constantly being hurt, there's no way that you could hear God above the hurt and above the offense. Right. There's just no way. Because it's all about your feelings.
It's all about you.
Yeah.
It's all about what was done to you. It's all about your pain.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about what others had done to you. And you're taking all of those past hurtful experiences and then you're projecting them upon God or the people that God's using maybe in your life and saying, they're going to do the same. They're going to hurt me. It's like it's a judgment upon God before God even starts with you, before he even tells you the first thing.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the people, too, that can't even, they're not able even to even get any sort of correction.
You know?
The mere thought that you can be corrected, that's pretty scary, because who of us has it all together? Who of us, except God, is absolutely perfect.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So all of us need some calibration, if you will. All of us need to be correct. Correct, it just means that maybe you're tilting the wrong way a little bit. You need to be brought back. It should be normal. Mm-hmm. But if you have a wall that's put up and your hand stuck out and you can't receive correction,
mm-hmm.
or you can't see someone saying anything, that's like, because your feelings are going to get hurt and you take it personal, it's not personal. You're just going 95 miles an hour the wrong way. You're going to kill somebody. You got to stop. You gotta stop. Turn around. I mean, how foolish would it be for someone to pull you over and say, stop right now. Stop. And you say, why did you tell me stop that way? You could have said it nicely. You could have said it politely. Mm. Why didn't you just wave like other people do? They just wave nicely.
What? Right.
The difference is that the perspective is that the person was just thinking about themselves and how they were told, as opposed to understanding that there was a big picture involved. And the big picture is you're going 95 miles an hour and you're about to hurt somebody mm-hmm. else. You're going to hurt yourself. You're going to create huge damage here. But if we're filtering what God's word is saying through, you know, oh, this must mean I'm horrible. This mm-hmm. must mean I'm bad, or this, we're never going to get where God wants to bring us to. And a lot of times we can get free. We can get free from constantly being offended. We can get free. We need to be free, because you can't go anywhere with God. You can't go with in other relationships. You can't move forward. You're stuck. You're stuck in that place of hurt, of pain, and you can never move forward in the destiny that God has for you. God, listen, God wants to heal you. He wants to heal you. He wants to say, look, it's okay. You can overlook that offense, and you can grow in what God has for you. Because if you stay stuck there, you're never going to move anywhere.
Right.
And you can't let the word of God or what others are sharing you about God's word, you can't bring it down to your experience. God's word always trumps your experience.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.